Hello, everybody. If you'll just come have a seat. I feel so far away up here. Hello. I am used to sitting with first through fourth graders in one room where we sit crisscross applesauce and we're all together. So I'm feeling separated from you, but know I'm here trying to be around you. I am Peggy Stevens. I'm so honored to be able to speak with you all this morning because for so many years, I taught Sunday school. And one of the ways we came to Second Presbyterian many years ago was when my oldest daughter was in first grade. And we were looking around at churches, and the determining factor for us to come to Second Pres was that first grade classroom. And I will never forget the Sunday school teacher just warmly welcoming her and making her feel a part. And, you know, the rest is history. So your role, as Sandy said, is very important. I am going to talk just for about 10 minutes, not long, because I know you're starting to get rumbly tumblies. So I'm going to let you all get to lunch. But I was given the wonderful opportunity to talk about what we're doing here and the purpose. So I'd like to start out with a moment of just a brief prayer that you'll all know. So if you'll bow your heads. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Amen. I'm going to talk about transactions and three specific transactions. A transaction, to define it, is an agreement between a buyer or a seller to exchange goods or financial instruments. You buy or sell stock. You buy a cup of coffee. You sell your house. Those are all transactions. So a transaction is an exchange or an interaction between two things, right? Volunteering is a transactional experience. Think about that for a minute. Volunteering is a transactional experience. And let's delve into that just a little bit deeper in three ways. The first way we're going to look at it is as a calling or caring. Those go together. Our valuable time, input, output, and planting and reaping. Let's look at calling, our calling. A calling is, in a definition, a strong urge or impulse, a drive or a motive toward a particular way of life or a career, a job or a trade. That's a calling. And recently I read this really cool blog that said, we don't have a calling. We have a caring, because a calling implies we can just do one thing we're supposed to do, but we do something because we care, because we feel it's worth doing. And I think agreeing to lead our children in our church family is definitely a caring. You all are here on this beautiful Saturday morning, and that's a caring. As a Christian, through Scripture, we are called to serve. And I want you to listen to just a few Scripture passages here and listen to the transaction in the passage. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, I love this part of this scripture. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The measure you use will be measured back to you. And Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's the ultimate transaction in scripture. So scripture models the importance of transactional acts of teaching in our church. And the equation is, if you give your time and your energy and love, it will come back. And we pray it comes back to us through the lives of our students, that they exemplify what we're trying to teach them. But you all know, and we've talked about this here this morning, that really it comes back to us, doesn't it? Give, and it will be given to you. So a note to think about, and I've heard this said, and I'm just going to say it in another different way. Sandy mentioned it, and I heard MJ say it in her session, and even Dr. Burrow said it in her session, that the curriculum is so important, and wow, this curriculum is amazing. It's so different from back in the day when I used to teach here. I mean, this curriculum is aligned. It's beautiful. It relates to both in Sunday school and then at home in family. It's beautiful, and it is the foundation. The curriculum gives structure around what we're doing, and children love to have that foundational content taught to them. It's very important. But there's something that transcends the lesson itself, and this is the most important thing, and that is your caring and your compassion. And I've heard that throughout the morning. The welcoming feeling that you give each child, calling him by name, saying hi to her, what did you do this week? Getting to know them. That's what prepares the hearts and minds of children to learn the curriculum. The caring and compassion and the love that you show those children when they walk in that room is what puts the wheels on the curriculum and allows it to move in their lives, and then allows their lives to be a light for Christ. So that is a huge part of what you do, the caring. And obviously, you all are called to do that. So the calling and the caring, really important. The timing, our valuable time, the input and the output. There's a Chinese saying that I love. It's really cool. Time is a created thing. To say, I don't have time, is like saying, I don't want to. Isn't that great? Another quote, the greatest gift you can give someone is your time. Because when you give your time, you're giving a portion of your life that you will never get back. The greatest gift is your time. So giving our time to anything is transactional. With time, it's so important to be mindful of the exchange of time and what it's doing for both us as individuals, to those we love, and to the process of furthering God's kingdom. It's how our time is spent and how and what we're doing with our time that can make a difference in the lives of others. It's input and output. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Obviously, since you're here, you want to be here and you want to give the time. You find that time and this time valuable. Priceless. You're committed to be a part of this endeavor, and you will be blessed. But be aware of your putting out, and don't forget to put in. Are you allowing time and space each week to prepare your heart and mind to do what you're doing? You know, I know schedules, and I know how we can get up on Sunday morning and go, come on, we got to go. But really, to allow yourself to have a little bit of prep time prior is so important. Prayer expands time. It just does. Prayer expands time. It's a unique and an individual journey for each of us. And prayer and making a commitment for the rest of your day will make you more purposeful and efficient. It expands time. You get that. I like to follow, and many of you do as well, and you have your own special way of praying, but I love to follow the model of Acts when I pray purposefully. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You know, you don't get to that asking part till the very end. And when you do all those things beforehand, it changes the whole asking part. But it puts a framework around the way I pray and the way I am before the Lord. It's such an expansion of time when you take that time. And you know what? We can only prepare our children for the path, not the path for the children. We can only prepare our children for their journey. We can't make the journey something. We can't manipulate that. We as parents need to know that. We as Sunday school teachers need to know that. But we can help prepare them for the path. And prayer is huge when it comes to that. So, time. Taking time prior to teaching is really, really important. And then the last transaction is the one of planting and reaping. So Luke 8:15 says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." The good soil, planting and reaping. I had the privilege of going to North Carolina, where my daughter has recently moved, and she has two beds in her new home that are not very large beds, but nothing was thriving in them. So we went to this really cool nursery nearby, and this gal said, "Well, what you need to do is just dig that soil out and put it on a tarp and then mush in, you know, manure and good soil, topsoil, and just stir it all up and put it back in the beds. And then you need to use this magic formula." And I was like, "What's that?" And I'm going to read you the description of the magic formula. It's called Biotone Starter Plus 433. Does anybody know about this stuff? Well, let me tell you. It's Biotone Starter Plus is an all-natural plant food that is combined with a stronger concentration of our beneficial bacteria, along with both endo and ecto mycorrhizae. I had to look up how to say that. The ideal starter plant food, originally designed for professionals, Biotone Starter Plus will increase root mass and help avoid transplant loss in the difficult planting conditions. Well, it's, you know, biotic. It has little things that attach to the roots, apparently, and help the plant grow. So we dug all that out and put it in, and right before we put the nice plants in, we put a little handful of the Biotone Starter. You know, it was a fun experience, but it really made me think about an illustration of what we're doing. Teaching is all about planting, right? That's what it's about. And our goal is to connect with students, cultivate their spiritual soil, and prayerfully plant the seeds of Christ's love so that it can take root and then equip them. And that is so beautiful. But hey, there are days when you wake up on a Sunday morning and you want to have that little cup of coffee, you know, that another cup of coffee, and then you might have Facebook you want to kind of look at, and you're still in your jammies and you've had a hard work week, and you just really don't want to go in and give of yourself to the Sunday school. And I get that. But we've got to make it not about us. The prayer is, say, you know, please make this not about me. Be humbled by the opportunity that you might be Christ's Biotone Starter Plus. That stuff that clings to the little small feeder roots of our children's spiritual walk. You might be their ultimate starter food that increases the root mass and helps avoid transplant loss in this difficult world in which we live. You know, most days I head to work. I work with children in grades 1 through 4, and I often have a lot in my head and a lot on my mind. But the days that I really, and sometimes I'll be honest, I just don't have enough space to pray. Can't do the whole Acts thing. Can't really just take the time. But I often have time to sing on my way to work. I don't live far, so I only sing a verse or two. And there are two songs that I sing as I go to work. And when I do this, no matter what meets me at the door, if it's a child who's in crisis, If it's a young mom who is absolutely overwhelmed because the girls in her class are not treating her well and she's upset. If it's a teacher who's had a personal problem and she just can't be there that day or is upset. All of these things are heart issues. And so I pray, Lord, make it not about me. Just make it not about me. And then I sing. And the first one I sing is Sanctuary. Am I going to goop y'all out if I sing a little verse of that? Probably, but I'm going to. So I sing Sanctuary. Lord, prepare me. I'm singing while I'm driving. To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And my eyes are not closed, I promise. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And then I may sing it again louder because it might be a really hard day ahead of me. That's a great song. It puts my heart in the right spot. It's like getting on the roller coaster and it's putting the safety thing down. You know, it's preparing my heart for whatever is to come. And it's not about me. It's about those that with whom I'm going to be with. Then the other song that I just love is the hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. And I love that one because it makes me smile. And that just gives me a good place. So you may not need to sing. You may send up arrow prayers if you're having one of those Sunday mornings. But take a moment to put the safety thing down on the roller coaster that you're about to encounter when you come into God's house and you have the privilege and the opportunity to work with these children and share Christ's love, because you don't know, you biotone plus feeders, you people out there, what kind of roots you are going to be putting down. It's never obvious. Second graders are not going to come up to you and say, thank you so much for teaching me Sunday school today. I've really learned a lot. They're not. But they're going to walk out of there, and all of a sudden something will shoot through their mind, and they'll remember something you said. They may not remember your name, but they'll say, there was that lady that taught me Sunday school that had that long blonde hair, and she always smiled at me in a world that doesn't often smile. So you are so important. Be humbled, be thankful, and be strong. And I'm going to end with the preparation worship statement that was in the bulletin last week. It was so awesome, and it's a prayer, so we'll just end with a prayer. But those preparation bulletin, you know, very small, italicized at the top of the bulletin, they rock. So don't miss those when you're in church. This was last week's. Father, amidst all the changing words of our generation, speak now your eternal word that doesn't change, and grant us grace to respond as we ought, with faith, understanding, and obedience, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.